on the podcast. Today, they're talking with us all about how to be more inclusive and affirming to different marginalized community in the wedding world.
Yes, from appealing and working with different clients to also working with vendors, as well as guests at weddings who might identify in one of these communities as well. We're so excited to get tips and tricks and just great advice on how to be more inclusive and affirming as well.
You're listening to Dare to Develop, a podcast for creatives. I'm Christine Herman.
And I'm Ashley Baumgartner, and we are two hybrid wedding photographers that dub ourselves work wives.
With a passion for developing community and daring to take risks in business and art, we want to bring you along on a journey.
The journey of artists, makers, business professionals, and more who want to level up their businesses by daring greatly and developing community.
So let's get started.
Welcome back to Dare to Develop. We're so excited to have Kirsten and Maria Palladino, the founders of Equally Wed, here with us today.
We're so excited to hear from you all about daring to change the wedding world to be more inclusive and affirming. Thanks so much for being here with us, you two.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
So before we get started, we'd love for you two to tell us just a little bit about yourselves personally, and then we'll dive into Equally Wed and our topic today.
Great. Yeah. So we are a married couple. We met back in, 2003. We started 2003. I know you're like 40 years ago. Is it 20? Yeah. So, and then we started dating in 2004. So yeah, we've been together 19 years, married for 13, coming up on 14. And my background is in graphic design and web development. And then Kirsten was a writer editor. So when we were, I won't go far into Equally Wed, but when we were, after we had gotten engaged, we were planning our wedding, we decided that the world needed a more inclusive and affirming place for LGBTQ plus couples planning their weddings, honeymoons, engagements. And that kind of launched us into our professional careers together.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think you summed it up. The other thing I would say too is that we noticed a lack of coverage of LGBTQ plus couples weddings, but then also we were turned down a lot by vendors, and we live in Atlanta. So we figured gay Mecca, the South, will be safe. Actually, honestly, I wasn't even worried. I just thought these were modern times. This was 2008, and it wasn't. People were not prepared for us at all. And so that was really disappointing, and combined with the lack of coverage of LGBTQ plus love and relationships, we decided to put our talents together to create what we wanted to see in the world, what we needed.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So then what really was the catalyst then for starting Equally Wed?
Yeah, I think exactly that. I always mess up the year. So we got engaged in
08.
And then we had like an 18-month-ish
engagement
period. So Kirsten kind of, I enjoyed it as well, the whole planning process and kind of getting into it. She was way more into it in regards to all of the details of it. And when we started kind of looking into resources and things for inspiration from everything from our attire to the flowers to venues, we just saw a great lack of people that looked like us, you know, in regards to just LGBTQ plus couples out there. And so it was just that catalyst there going, there's not that much out there for us to plan our weddings. We need to create it. You know, you always want to create a business that, you know, solves a pain point that you felt. And right. So that was basically, we had kind of a heartbreak. And I think it was that thing of, well, why should we not do this? You know, you've got this background, I've got this. Let's launch something that is modern. And we use commercial lightly, but commercialness, like taking up place in the media world where we're validated and we're just like you. And these are beautiful weddings from $500 to $500,000 or $5 million, and put that in front of couples like us to plan their big days.
And I think too, with your backgrounds as well, it's perfect for the blog life. So I think that's awesome. But can you tell us a little bit more about like the mission and goals that Equally Wed has?
Sure. Well, the original goal was to validate LGBTQ plus weddings and marriages, and follow the fight for marriage equality in the United States, especially, even though we're consider ourselves a global publication, but we focus primarily on the United States. And at the time of our launch, there were only 6 states that had marriage equality. So we followed state by state of what was going on, both nationally in every state. But I would say that our main mission, and it still is today, is to validate our love and relationships, as well as inspire and inform. Even though we now, luckily, because we have marriage equality, and that was passed in 2015 on a federal level, even though now we have coverage all over of LGBTQ plus weddings, we are very much like a for us, by us mentality where, you know, all our writers and editors are in the LGBTQ plus community. And we cover our community in a way that I love them, but a lot of editors and writers cannot and would not be able to connect with all of the things that we do, like dealing with transphobia in the wedding industry or homophobia and transphobia in the families and, you know, people who've attended a church for a very long time, but then suddenly they're ready to have their wedding ceremony and suddenly they're saying no, or, you know, shopping for a gown at it maybe like you're a non-binary femme shopping for a gown and they can't stop saying bride and things like that. We cover the whole gamut.
Mm-hmm. Love that. So we know it started primarily as a blog, but Equally Wed has evolved into a very large network of a lot of different things. Can you tell us a little bit about what Equally Wed all does now?
Yeah, so we have equallywed.com, which is, you know, basically kind of like our blog, our online magazine, where we publish content, you know, multiple times daily, every single day, as well as all of our followers on social media. We've got a very large following from, you know, Instagram to Facebook to TikTok, over to Pinterest. And then we spiraled into, several years later, our Equally Wed Pro side of things. So we wanted to create a space where we could educate, I always lack the words here, but educate, simply put, wedding and event pros on how to be more inclusive and affirming of LGBTQ plus people in the industry. And
yeah, and when we launched Equally Wed Pro, or primarily why we launched it, yes, you know, to educate, but also what we were realizing is what I saw is that there are like three buckets in the wedding industry. There is a tiny bucket of wedding pros who either are really young and therefore are more connected to our community. It's innate for them. Or some people just walked out of the womb knowing how to affirm everybody in the world. It's a very small pocket of people. And then there's the other extreme, if you will, of people who absolutely want nothing to do with our community and would just prefer we go away. But the largest bucket, the majority of the wedding industry, what we're seeing and started seeing as soon as we launched Equally Wed, is that most wedding pros want to work with our community and are afraid of saying the wrong thing, don't know how to market to us. They get inquiries, but then they get ghosted and they don't know what went wrong. And our advertisers started to ask us a lot of questions along those lines, as well as our couples who submitted their weddings or were just part of our community chatting were telling us where they were having issues with vendors. Mm-hmm. And so we decided, hey, you know what, we can solve these things. We can, you know, take what's happening in the industry with our community and give it over to the vendors. And so that was happening so often. And I was getting asked to speak at different conferences. And so we launched Equally Wed Pro to provide that education, which evolved into our certification course that we offer for wedding pros to really, you know, become more LGBTQ plus inclusive and make sure that they're saying the things that our community wants to hear, not just what they think we want to hear. And then from there, we've really evolved into, you know, we have multiple courses, how to create an authentically inclusive LGBTQ plus styled shoot, which of course starts with using real LGBTQ plus models or I prefer couples, but even if they're not couple, at least they're in the community. And Maria launched a course about how to serve non-binary clients. And we have just continued on that education path. What our latest venture is, we're in the very beginning stages of it, but we've launched a membership only community called Equally Inclusive. And it is has monthly education from paid professional speakers from all different types of marginalized communities. And we're bringing them in to share with wedding and event pros how to authentically serve their communities. Because what was happening for us, you know, when I was on stage talking, I bring a lot of different intersectionality into what I'm speaking. You know, I'm hearing impaired. I have limb differences. I have PTSD. I consider myself or identify as a non-binary woman and a pansexual and queer. But I ended up bringing a lot of those different things into my stage talks. And what I also was getting asked about a lot is, well, who's teaching X, Y, and Z? Or, you know, what about this type of wedding? Or, you know, how can we, you know, be more respectful of neurodivergent clients? Or, you know, how can we make sure that, you know, yes, we might have a wheelchair ramp, but what else can we do? And so we wanted to basically create a one-stop shop where, or a hub really, of where, you know, wedding and event pros could come in and learn from people from those communities who are also professional speakers whose voices aren't always elevated. And we want to give them the platform to do it and pay them, as well as have those community discussions where people can feel safe to share with each other about, you know, for me, I believe that it's okay to not know, but then once you know, then you need to do better. But, you know, a lot of these things we weren't taught, you know, growing up, or, you know, some of us have, you know, parents or guardians who really gave their all and to think about all these different types of communities that we didn't belong to or don't belong to, but not everybody has that access to that education. And one more thing, the other reason we wanted to do this specific membership is because we are primarily, the wedding industry is made up of small businesses, and small businesses don't have like that corporate access to DEI education. So we really wanted to bring that in an accessible way.
Yeah, that's amazing. I feel like just giving the voice to so many people in the community is such an amazing thing to do. So cool. So can you talk a little bit, like we talked about the different people that are out there, say like that big group of people who want to know kind of what to say, but don't really know or don't really know how to learn. Can you kind of like define some things, how they can be inclusive and more affirming to the LGBTQ+ community?
First, we always like to kind of say, well, learn about the community, try to understand who makes up the community. What is LGBTQ+, you know, us? What are all those letters mean? Who are we? I always like to say like a kaleidoscope of colors and shapes. We're crossing over in different forms, from sexuality to gender and all of that. So it's kind of understanding the community, having an open heart to understand, and then want to celebrate that. And we're in this industry of love and celebration, and it needs to come out in your business as well. So kind of understanding, having an open heart to understand, and then decide that you want to work with them and celebrate them. So specific things, though, what would you say as your top couple?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, being more than just, you're welcome here. Like, you can come to me. That's the bare minimum. You can cross through our doors or you can pay me. But so, you know, I hear a lot of wedding vendors or even just hotels, like, everybody's welcome here. And I think that it's important to turn around and look like, well, who is welcome and in what way? It's kind of the opposite of the golden rule. We don't want to treat others as we'd like to be treated. We want to treat others how they want to be treated. And we have to step up and learn. For the LGBTQ+ community, one of the biggest things that I try to steer people away from is saying same-sex weddings or same-sex couples. It's totally fine and valid for anybody to identify as a same-sex couple or that they're calling their wedding a same-sex wedding. But in our entire community, we have people who don't identify as the same gender. We have people under the trans umbrella who either don't identify solely with one gender or don't identify with a gender at all. So same sex doesn't exactly work. We have trans people who may identify as a woman and one may identify as a man. Well, then there goes the same sex theory. And our trans siblings are under the worst attacks out of our community. So leaving them out of something that simple it's exclusionary, but it's also cruel and it's harmful. So I like to start with those things, but then also, you know, along those lines, not assuming that people are going to use the identifier bride or groom yes, you might have two brides, you might have two grooms, you might have one of each. Or there's a word that I started using around 2015 when I was writing my book. I found it in the dictionary, but it's mirror. And what Merriam-Webster says that it's something that people can call themselves if they are getting married often. But I liken it as a gender neutral term for someone getting married, because if you are saying, you know, oh, our couple, which is very inclusive. But what about when you're talking about just half of the couple, you know, you're talking to another pro on the wedding day, you can say the marrier instead of the bride or groom, either if you don't know, or if that's, you know, the wedding title that they decided to use. So, and then it goes on and on. But I think the golden rule for me is don't assume. Ask open-ended questions, not like, don't assume that they're going to have two bouquets or two boutonnieres. Ask, what are you thinking for your personal flowers? Don't assume what they're going to wear. What are you thinking of wearing on your wedding day? What are you thinking about? Blah, 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 blah. And then you're leaving space for them to tell you exactly who they are and what they want.
I love that. Yeah, I feel like navigating language is definitely, I feel like, the education's needed there in the industry, because there's, yeah, for a while it was everyone added the little tagline, all are welcome here, or like, we are willing to serve same-sex couples or LGBTQ support. But would you be willing to just kind of continue that conversation about language and just how, as vendors, we can better serve other vendors even, as well as the couples? Because I know that's something that I feel like we're both continually learning and researching. And I do want to dive into Styled Shoots in a minute too, which I want to hear more about your course there as well. But can we, yeah, just kind of continue that conversation about language and social media and how to just continually be cognizant of how we interact with people, you know, write narratives on social media to attract or just, you know, create that environment that is affirming as well.
Yeah, I think the first thing is, if you're just approaching like your audience as a whole or marketing to whomever is seeing your stuff, just go as gender neutral as you can. If you're working specifically with marriers or a couple and you know their pronouns, you know how they identify, their bride and groom, their bride and bride, their groom and groom, their broom and bride. I kind of went with broom when I went, because I didn't identify as bride or groom when we were getting married. Then use those, that verbiage accordingly. But if you're kind of saying on social media, I want to attract more LGBTQ plus couples, I want to just be more affirming in my language across the board, look at your social media, look at your website, look at your contracts and see how you can change it to be more gender neutral. So it's really, you know, marriers, lovebirds, partner one, partner two, partner three, in some cases, four or five, whatever it may be. So I think that's the first step in regards to language. I know Kirsten mentioned kind of those open-ended questions, so that if on your contracts or intake forms, or, you know, on your DMs, when you're starting to engage with somebody, have those open-ended questions where you're not putting them into a box as far as like, what flowers are you thinking about having, if any? Or, you know, not just immediately you assume they're a woman that they're going to carry a bouquet or a boutonniere for a man, things like that. So I think those are two great kind of entry points for language, I think, for from digital to print, all the way through to, from social to your website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that what's really important is that we all get comfortable and confident in asking our clients questions that might feel personal to you, but they're going to be appreciated by the people who have different identities than what's considered typical, and it's educational for everyone else. Also, when you use inclusive language, it's not only to be inclusive if you potentially have an LGBTQ plus client. We, as the LGBTQ plus community, are actually quite small in terms of the population of the United States and worldwide, but the number of allies we have is growing by the day. And the younger generations, especially Gen Z, Gen Alpha coming up, they are insisting on inclusivity of all marginalized communities, but they're very outspoken about LGBTQ plus inclusivity. And they're going to pass you by if they don't see the inclusivity in your language. So it's a missed opportunity to show your values by not starting off with that gender neutral language and saying, hi, you know, my name is Sally. I'm a florist. My pronouns are she, her. May I ask you your pronouns? And get comfortable with that. Ask your friends. Just practice. You know, even if it feels silly at first, just get comfortable and confident with that. I do want to give the caveat that because not all of us or most of us were not given this type of education in eighth grade or whatever, that there is a majority of the LGBTQ plus community is also learning about pronouns. When we have our real wedding submissions come in, we ask people their pronouns so we can identify them correctly in articles or social media. Some people just write down their name, which is a valid thing instead of using pronouns, but, or they'll write woman. And I totally get that. We all learned pronouns in maybe first or second grade. It's simply the word that would replace a name. Like, you know, Sally the florist is using dahlias today and she'll be putting those in a vase. So a lot of people are like, what are pronouns? And it's just that simple thing. But it's important to ask. And then it's also important to follow up if, say, you have an 18-month engagement like us, like, you know, your clients, and saying, hey, I just wanted to check in. Are your pronouns still she, her? Because people are evolving, and they're evolving more as education's available, but they're also evolving as they're watching TikToks and saying, wait a minute. I actually don't think I identify this way. I just listened to a non-binary person, and actually that speaks to me more than the gender identity that was assigned to me at birth. So people are constantly evolving with all those things. And so just that's something to keep in mind.
I know. I think it's important. Like, you think of the vendors are growing as people, but also your couples are growing as people too. So being cognizant mm-hmm. of that is super important.
Ashley here, popping in for a quick announcement. If you have been debating trying to learn about film photography or just wanting to dip your toes into the film photography world, my girl Christine here has a mini course available for purchase on her website called Fundamentals of Film. Some of you may have gotten it when there's been the Bell Lumiere Creative Collabs as well, but it's a great comprehensive overview of what you need to know to get started with film. Christine's actually who taught me film on a one-on-one mentorship, which she also still offers. But if you just want to dip that toe, head over to her website, christineherman.com, click on education and check out Fundamentals of Film, a mini course.
So we talked a little bit about language. Are there any other stuff vendors can do to be more inclusive?
Oh, absolutely. Well, one of the things is making sure that I think it's important to keep marginalized communities in your top 9 on Instagram at all times, because not everybody's going to take the time to scroll through your feed, but people want to see if they're represented, and not necessarily just because they representation is really important, but they also want to see if you know how to work with them or if you're proud of it. I have one of our very best friends in the business runs a plus size wedding magazine, Pretty Pear Bride, shout out. And she only covers plus size brides. And a lot of her readers have been photographed by these amazing photographers for their weddings, but then they'll go to the Instagram feed and they're not anywhere to be seen. And it's that instant like, oh, I was good enough to pay you, but I wasn't good enough for your feed. And we see that a lot with the LGBTQ plus community too. People are like, yeah, you know, I want to do this, but I'm afraid of offending the majority of my audience or majority of my clients. And so when we see that or we don't see that, it makes us question everything about you as a business. It's important to make sure that you have that representation of real LGBTQ plus people, even if you have to start it with styled shoots. Mm-hmm. So we can talk about that if you'd like to, but I will say that even though most vendors have it in their contracts to have that permission to share on social or on their blogs or in any type of media that they're going to promote their work in, even though we as wedding pros have done this work constantly and we maybe have 10 weddings a year, some have 40, but this is usually the first time that this couple's getting married. And this is the first time that they've looked at a wedding contract and they might not actually read it all. So I think it's important to circle back with that couple and say, hey, is it okay if we put your names or your photos or your likeness on social media, if we pitch it to a wedding publication? Ask those things, because we've had at Equally Wed, we've had several couples who either their wedding photographer submitted their wedding, or their planner submitted, or they submitted themselves but didn't realize that they would lose family members. Or we've had Catholic school teachers get fired for having their wedding published, and they're emailing it like, please take this down. I didn't realize this would ruin my career. It's really sad, but it happens, and it's still happening today. So as a vendor, this probably got into this business because of love, but it's also, it's your job to protect your client and step up for them and make sure that you're an advocate for them.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, as you said that, it's definitely such a valid point of like, it might be the first time that their images are being publicly posted. You know, it might be something that's very regular in their daily life and in their inner circle, but to share those images with the world is a different level of privacy and sharing their relationship and how they identify with the entire world per se on social media today. I feel like really is the entire world.
Right.
Yeah. And once you post it, it's out of your hands. So yep. You never know where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. And it can be kind of scary. I grew up in a pretty affirming household where my parents told me from my preteens, if you turn out to be gay, we love you no matter what, which is kind of random, but maybe they knew. Not everyone's as lucky, and they may have just started getting comfortable with themselves or living openly with the way that they feel. And so it can be, what would you say? Nerve-wracking?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, I think if they're, especially if it's just a photographer putting it out there. I mean, if they're being submitted or something, they've kind of stepped into the realm of knowing it could get big and picked up or be on somebody's social that has 100,000 followers or whatever. But if it's just a photographer shooting somebody's wedding, yeah, take a little bit more care with LGBTQ+ couples because they might not be out there all over social with their relationship.
Right. Yeah. And then the other thing that I would say too, just to drop in, is just like I said, that your clients might not be LGBTQ+ identifying, but they might have allies. They should have allies that are looking out for us in the industry. But also, you don't know whose guests are LGBTQ+ identifying. So if those are part of, if that aligns with your values, if being inclusive and affirming aligns with your values, then you need to think about, if you're a DJ, are you saying ladies and gentlemen? Or could you shift that to ladies and gentlemen and esteemed non-binary guest? Could you, if you're an officiant, not go off on about the traditions of marriage being between a man and a woman? Could you, if you sell wonderful products to go on cake toppers or koozies, could you also have a Mrs. and Mrs. or a mix and a Mr. or Mr. and Mr. products that's right alongside of everything else? If you're going to a wedding expo, could you not just direct your attention to brides only, but to all couples? And, you know, it's just those little shifts that, for the most part, I don't think cisgender heterosexual couples mind, but it means the world to LGBTQ+ people and their allies.
Absolutely. So going back to Style Shoots and wanting to represent the LGBTQ community authentically on social media and our portfolios as wedding professionals across the board, whether that's planner, photographer, all of different vendors. I know we've had this discussion on the podcast regarding ethnic diversity of just really being careful of the line of like, you're not creating content to tokenize someone. So I don't know if you can just speak to that a little bit of like, you're not just doing it to do it and you're not just doing it to check a box and how to authentically do it. I know you mentioned earlier, like as much as you can use a real couple, like don't just hire two bride models and say look like a couple or things like that. But I'd love to know. And I know you have a course, which I'll link to, but just kind of some preliminary tips you might have for wedding vendors who do want to create that content because they haven't had it before.
Yeah, I think that first, in terms of being authentic and avoiding tokenization, only you know your own heart. But when you are looking at what your goals are, is your goal for LGBTQ+ people to feel safe and celebrated and welcome in your business? Or is your goal well, everybody else is doing it, and I guess I'm going to look like an idiot or a mean guy if I don't do it. I think that's part of it. And then also,
which is always the, like, across the board, the question to ask, I think, you know, on any, including any marginalized community in your business, is you look at everybody equal and you want to celebrate them for who they are, what they want in their special day. So I think that always has to be the internal question. It's not, you know, as businesses, we have to make money, but we hopefully are doing what we love. And so I think it's not doing the LGBTQ plus shoot so that maybe that's in your photos or your feed or your whatever it is, or on your website. So maybe there's some more money. Maybe I can increase my revenue 5% more this year because I'm in this city and there's a lot of those type of couples here. But doing it because just for the representation and showing the love and the affirmation. So yeah, asking that question internally before starting anything in your business, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say too, if you're only doing this shoot because June's coming up, that's a sign. That's a red flag. Would you not do it in November?
I always like to say on that any first step in the right direction, if you're putting stuff up in Pride Month, is a great first step. But as the community starts seeing that with bigger businesses, we're getting a little bit more, I don't know the right word, but
it's called rainbow washing.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole idea of, like, you start paying attention to who's just doing this in June.
Yeah.
And so again, if you want to celebrate that in June, great. That's a great first step. But we encourage you and challenge you to show those couples year round, to show that inclusivity year round for various couples and marriers. So yeah, if you are just doing a style shoot because you want content for Pride Month, would you do that for any other marginalized community? Because that may be horribly racist or whatever it is. So that, yeah, that same kind of, not for that reason.
Yeah. I would also say that if you're putting together a style shoot to celebrate LGBTQ plus love, as well as show off your products, your services, it's important to only collaborate with people who are like-minded. We've gotten style shoots before, submissions at Equally Wed, where they're like, don't list the baker. We didn't know until we told them where we were submitting it that they didn't know it was for an LGBTQ plus couple. So that was a fail on their end. Mm-hmm. But it's important for wedding pros to reach out and to make sure that they are building a network of their own with like-minded people so that they can recommend them to their clients. And I would say, if you have anybody who has those red flags, or you don't know where they stand in the wedding industry, or have those hard conversations to know where they stand, it's important to build a community of like-minded wedding pros that you can recommend, not just to your LGBTQ plus clients, but to everyone. Because again, you don't know who's in the audience, or the guest count, or the colleagues, the people, the pros who might be there. The bartender might be trans, and you're working with a trans hostel turf of a florist. Maybe you might consider ever recommending Sally. Sorry, all Sallys. But, you know, it's important.
That general name, no one specific.
Right. It's important to think in advance. Are you really an ally, or are you doing this for the money?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so important. That intention is what really is the heart of the matter at the end of the day.
And then you talked about, like, of course, having vendors that are all very like-minded and having those tough conversations. Say, you know, this is the first time someone's like, okay, this actually makes sense, and I need to do something like that with all my vendor teams. How would you say a vendor should go about that?
Well, so I'm very conflict averse, and then Maria helps me dial it back even more. You know, I'm a start the fire and then figure out how to put it out
person. There you go. That's a word. Right. I was like, conflict averse. She'll be the first one to say something, but
she's like, yeah, I'll throw the match and then I'll run away for a while.
Right. And then I'm like, okay, well, sorry.
The fire extinguisher. Just like,
no. Exactly. It is hard because if you're like, I want to do the right thing, but I hate these type of conversations. Hey, putting it out there. There are ways, I think, that with good, like, we've talked about doing kind of like Q&As or surveys or reaching out with specific questions to your vendor circle, that people that you constantly work with or refer people to. If you're a venue, you generally have like a preferred vendor list of vendors that you want to suggest to the marriers that may be coming into your venue. you may want to go ahead and start vetting them with the right questions. What would you suggest as a great first question?
Yeah, I would say that long before you're doing a styled shoot, that you're saying, I'm taking a good hard look at my business for this year, and we are planning to do more work within the LGBTQ plus community. Can I put you down for somebody who might be interested in being a sponsor for a styled shoot? Or would you like to be on my referral list? And pause, listen, see what they say, because if there's a long pause, that might be your answer. Now, like I said, there's that large pool of wedding pros who want to work with the community but don't always know what to do and are afraid that they're going to get it wrong, that they're going to offend somebody, or, you know, get canceled on social media for saying the wrong thing. But again, like, it's not their intention. So it's important that I think it's important that we give everyone grace, that even though LGBTQ plus people have been here since the dawn of time, the conversations around us have increased over the positive conversations about us have increased over the last several decades. And like I said before, it's okay to not know, but you are responsible for seeking out that knowledge. So having those conversations and just really gauging their reactions, and you know them best, or you're going to get to know them through this conversation, and seeing what they say. And if they really center in on same-sex weddings, circle back and talk about, hey, also gender diverse people, trans people, how do you feel about them? And start there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great start.
I think that's, yeah, a great reminder that the tough conversations are needed but necessary, and just that as vendors, it's our responsibility to have those hard conversations with the community, especially as like planners or photographers, when you do have the power to recommend other vendors, we need to do the due diligence of knowing who's an ally and who, you know, will be affirming, like you said, to continually create that environment for our clients. Because I know we both recommend vendors a lot and have a lot of, not power, but have a large influence on whether we're tagging vendors regularly on social media or sending a preferred list, like you said. And so having those conversations to know who should remain on the list is it's definitely.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
So just knowing, first of all, this has been a great conversation and just very not only uplifting, but informative too. We'd love to know just your hot take on like, where do we go from here as a wedding industry? Like, obviously big strides have been made. Equally Wed is killing it in the blog sphere. Though some of the other larger publications are, you know, becoming more inclusive and more affirming, but just as a wedding industry as a whole, like, where do we go from here? What do you see like the next steps or goal markers being?
I was going to say, you know, just continuing to have those honest conversations, because we are all evolving as humans, and being human is messy business and we are going to screw up. But continuing those conversations are really important. I think it's also incredibly important to listen to marginalized communities about what they need and what they're feeling. None of us are a monolith. And so we all have different experiences, and there's all that intersectionality. I would say that the biggest issues that I see with the wedding industry today are racism and trans hostility. Yeah, gays and lesbians are getting more and more accepted, and that's amazing. But we have more hurdles to get over and work our way through. And we can only do it by being really honest and listening and setting our ego aside.
Yeah, just to piggyback on the whole thing of that, the generations coming up are demanding inclusivity and love in all forms across the board. And businesses being like vocal about it, I guess, in all ways. We're such a digital world now. So they're on top of face-to-face. Don't be afraid. It's kind of like you have to always constantly have that reckoning with yourself for your business. How far are you going to take things? Where are you going to go? How are you going to market yourself? And do it from the heart. But I think in any decision you make, you have to look at your revenue, but you have to look at what is the stance you're taking in this world as a business and as a professional. So I think specifically when you're dealing with LGBTQ plus people or any other marginalized communities, if you take that idea of looking at your business from that perspective and understanding, like, I want to not be an activist with this, but I want to do the right thing for now, not just 20 years from now when it's popular. And so I think going that route, you may believe that you'll lose some clients, but we've seen so often that you don't, it actually builds from there. And we understand we have readers from the tiniest rural counties and cities and vendors from those areas where they have to think about safety and their business. And because you got to put food on the table. So we understand that. But there are ways to go about things to slowly step into that space and find those clients or those vendor partners and things like that. So mm-hmm. I think just always kind of evaluating where you want to, what's the next step that's right for you as a person and then also for your business.
Absolutely. And I would add too that, you know, as creatives and small business owners, for the most part in the wedding industry, it's become the norm to share more of who we are personally on social media and show the faces behind the brand. And during that time, you're also sharing your values. So, you know, maybe you live in a community where it is harder to be vocal about those things, but maybe you're giving part of your profits to a local or regional or state equality organization, or maybe you are marketing yourself in the travel market so that you can do destination weddings that work with these communities that you want to celebrate more. But it's also a good time to look at who you're voting for. Are you voting for people who are working actively against our rights? That is something that is going to show up in your social media activity. So if you're going to be sharing more of your personality, the behind the scenes and your stories, whatever, are we going to see something that takes all those intentions away? And then we can actually see who you really are. It's really important to walk the walk and talk the talk 24/7 at your comfort level and grow from there. But remember that we can see what you're doing besides just social media.
I'm getting creepy.
Yeah, sorry.
We see you.
Everyone had a digital footprint. We can go back.
Unfortunately, it's true.
Your Twitter. No, Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And all those like stories come up. No, I absolutely love that. I think it's so true that we need to walk the walk and talk the talk 24/7. And I think I am glad for Gen Z and Gen Alpha coming up and demanding a lot of things out of businesses and brands and corporations and all of that, because I think it's making people face their values and share that in their businesses, which was an easy thing to hide behind for a long time, pre-social media and pre just kind of this vulnerability phase I feel like we've entered in the 21st century. But I think, yeah, just intention and who you are will ultimately come out, whether or not you're good at hiding it. And so just being forefront about your values is the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so what's next for Equally Wed? Do you have anything coming up in the future?
Yeah. In regards to Equally Wed, we've got some really cool things that we're launching in the next probably month or two on the website, specifically for our readers and the community of it. We're constantly putting out new content daily, trying to just keep our finger on the pulse of what our readers want. And then in technology as well, how can we stay connected on social, our website and beyond, keeping that community strong so that the readers can, as they're planning their weddings, stay connected to people that are in the same space. And then Equally Wed Pro, I mean, we're officially launching our new course very soon. We won't put a date on that, but it should probably even be launched once you're listening to this. And again, like we mentioned, Equally Inclusive, that is a new membership that we are launching in June. So we have, if this is out in June, you could check that out. And then, yeah, Kirsten's constantly around doing presentations and speaking around the world.
Starting fires.
Yes.
The match.
And be like, well, you didn't mean that. Hold on. Yeah. She does great. She's great.
I believe we crossed paths at Engage NOLA, right?
Yes. I think, yeah, that was the only other thing I was going to say, just coming up and add that we love building community and creating partnerships and supporting our community, but supporting the wedding industry at large. Our goal continues to remain the same of making it a safer and welcoming and affirming place for the LGBTQ plus community. So everything that we do supports that mission.
Love that. Well, we appreciate you diving into all things inclusivity. If it's all right, we'd love to move into a time of fast facts for our listeners to get to know you both better.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So first up, let's do what is your favorite tool in business? And let's have Maria go first always so we know who's hopping in.
I'm just going to say like our CRM right now. It's kind of how I'm keeping everything organized in regards to keeping connected and reaching out with our different partners and vendors.
What CRM do you use?
We're currently with Zoho, and it's only because we have thousands and thousands of records in there. So we had considered moving this year, but that's the one we're in right now.
Got it.
Cool. How about you, Kirsten?
Oh my gosh. Like there's so many different things that we use to make every day easier. I would say that my favorite tool is honestly going to be my phone.
Yep.
Because, you know, community is really important, but I can do so much now with it. Record videos for social media. I can record people when I'm interviewing people for articles. I can hop into almost any app and run our business. And we could be on a lovely beach and still running our business and no one would know.
Love it.
Yes, yes. And so when you're working, do you have a snack that you grab for?
Lately, it's been the glazed pecans, whatever those kind of candy ones, yeah. Whatever glazed that brand pecan. Is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I would say anything like jelly-like, like not jelly itself, but dots or jelly beans, those type of things that I can just chew on.
Love candies. Love it. Do you have music that gets you in the work zone that you listen to while y'all are working in the office?
That's a great question.
That is a great question. I am mostly on podcasts lately. I can do a lot of admin and design work. I handle a lot of the creative side of our businesses as well. So I'm able to listen to podcasts and try to feel like I'm educating myself in some regard, or at least being inspired and trying to become a better human on some of those. So that's been my thing. I do have a Spotify likes list. That's a mixture of everything. So no specific one jam.
Yeah. For me, if I'm doing any type of content, which is the majority of what I do, I have to listen to music without words. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of instrumental, like Spanish guitar or spa music or like those coffee house types of channels on Spotify, yes, that have the words removed. And then if I'm editing like photos or anything like that, then I go really hardcore for like gangster rap or or like just really loud stuff, anything by, you know, Rihanna or Pink, all those different things that just hype me up.
Love it.
Love it. Love it. What is your favorite thing to do outside of working?
Probably the quickest thing that comes to mind is doing like gardening, landscaping. I like to try to grow anything from a seed that we might have eaten or had, and then doing like stuff around the like landscaping stuff around the house, things like that.
Yeah. For me, it's all outside as well. I love to, we hike a lot as a family. Not 12. Our kids don't complain. It's something that we can take our dogs to do so we can spend time together. So yeah, hiking's definitely one of my favorite things to do.
Love it. What is the best education you've learned from in this business?
Oh man, there's so much. I mean, we've been to some phenomenal conferences and learning a lot of, it's interesting as media going to wedding related conferences because we're not the pros they're speaking to in certain regards, but there are times when they're talking about sales or connecting with your clients and things like that, that have just really absorbed and loved. And I like a lot of inspiration. I like to get kind of pumped up by speakers and stuff. So I've learned a lot about believing in yourself and trusting your gut and taking chances. I'm very one to be very kind of careful about everything. So I try to really kind of let that sink in, especially when I'm listening to any type of education. So the sad thing I've learned is that there's still a lot of work to do for marginalized communities in the wedding industry. The wonderful thing is that there are a lot of amazing people in it as well. And it's also very huge and very small. So it's been amazing to just kind of like take that all in from every place. But from specific people, I've just learned a lot from big speakers in regards to just how to run a business better and to do things from your heart, I think. What's yours?
For me, I would say that I feel like it's more of like a blue ocean strategy for me, not necessarily intentional on that, but I learn from people who are not in the wedding industry the most. like I've learned a lot from Brené Brown on how to be a better speaker or think about different ways that other people might be thinking, how to be a better leader, how to be a better boss. I am deep into DEI education for myself, and I learn so much from, I'm amassing a huge book pile of people who write specifically about systemic racism and what we can do to dismantle that, as well as unconscious bias. So that's really like a whole sphere of what I'm learning from right now and what I've been enjoying, what I'm getting the most takeaways from.
Love it. Love it. And then what is one daring leap you've taken in your business or life?
Let's see. In our business, I mean, launching it. It was right after we got married. I mean, then we shortly went into the having children. We had twin boys that are 12. So, and our business is 13 years old. Oh. So I think that whole two mouths to feed and deciding to do something on our own. We were already kind of working on our own in our other small businesses. And so taking that leap to believe in something that we had to offer and that we could do it well enough that people would want to pay attention, and then to grow it into what it's been. And then I think just kind of like the other arms of the businesses that we've decided, those have all been leaps in their own way, maybe smaller ones because we've already had kind of a little bit of a safety net underneath it with an Equally Wed brand. But I think for me, it's always been kind of saying, let's go and try this. Not a whole nother business, but another arm to the business, because it's something else we can offer. And let's just do it and see how it works. And if it doesn't work, okay, we go back to the drawing board and figure out the next step.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we take little daring leaps every day doing exactly what Maria just talked about. I feel like some of the biggest leaps that I've taken in my life, though, are creating boundaries, because I am constantly worried about letting other people down. That just drives everything that I do. And worrying that if I say no, that I'm going to let them down, or that they won't be able to do whatever they needed to do. And that sounds very egotistical. I don't mean in that way, but it's hard to say no, or it's hard to not be all things to everybody in your life. And that's been really hard for me personally, and it still is a challenge. But every time I say no, I've taken a leap.
Yes, I love it. I'm guessing Enneagram 2, yep. Maybe in there.
Oh my gosh, nailed it.
Yeah, I'll put a finger too.
That's great.
What are your numbers?
Yeah, I'm a 2-3, so.
Yeah. I'm a 2-3. Right? Yeah, I'm a 3.
Nice. Okay.
I still haven't done it. You have to give me the test or whatever it is. Yeah.
Whoever is behind.
I'm a 0 currently. Is that one of them? I've not tested. I don't know what it is.
I love that. So we always like to flip this question when there's two of you. So Maria, what is one thing that Kirsten is great at in business? And then I'll have Kirsten answer for Maria.
Kirsten is very confident, but not in a egotistical, showy way. Confidence, I think, that balances me out, because I'm doubting. I have a pretty good intuition and gut instinct, and I doubt it. And I've been working on that my whole life. So I should be better where I'm at this many years in. But she provides the, hell yeah, we can do this. And build that building out there. We can launch a $17 million company, whatever it is. Like, we can do this. And why wouldn't 5 million people not want it? And I think that is a phenomenal way to go into anything. And also then I can bring the kind of the other side of it, which balances it out a little bit. But I think that that is a wonderful thing, to have confidence backed by education and knowledge and all of that too, to do it. She also invests very, very hard into anything new that we want to launch. So if we're going to say we're going to do this, and we're going to educate people on this, or we're going to launch this type of product, she's going to read the book. She's going to invest in the video. She's going to look to find the experts currently out there in those type of things and those arenas, and do it well as with confidence. So I think that's a wonderful thing.
Thanks, babe. One of the things I think Maria is great at in business is the instincts that they have, but how they can read people in a way that I could never, anticipating what type of business decision somebody would make based on what you know already, or making the call about how people might react to things. Because as you said, Maria said that I'm not like, why wouldn't they want this? Or I can be really, really blunt in emails. And then sometimes I just have to pass it over to Maria and she's like, all right, let's make this softer. And they're going to really see what you're trying to say if we do these things instead of the fire starter approach. And so in a way that is coming back to me, but I just mean in general, like, you know, I think you think things through a lot better because you know the world better.
Okay. Well, there you go.
It's like you compliment each other. Yes, the good
yin and yang. No wonder you're married. So where can our listeners find you? Website, Instagram?
I would say you can start at equallywed.com, at equallywed, wherever you find your content, and that will lead you to us and all the other places.
And then, at equallywed, and then on the pro side, at equallywedpro, but obviously you can kind of connect to that through equallywed as well. So, but yeah, we're on everything from Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, Twitter, as much as anybody's there anymore. But hit us at
equallywed.com. A large chunk of people that use Twitter, but the wedding industry is not there. It's,
right?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I'm so oblivious.
I've never used Twitter.
All right. Well, before we head out, do you have any announcements for our listeners that you want them to be aware of?
Yeah, I think we're just stay connected with us on social. We'd love to offer your listeners a discount in regards to the products that we have separate of just our content. We do have vendor listings, a phenomenal vendor directory on our site at equallywed.com, where vendors can get in front of our readers that are planning their engagements, weddings, and honeymoons. We have equallywedpro.com, which has our LGBTQ+ inclusive education course and certification course, and Equally Inclusive, which is our membership group that is launching and should be out when you're listening to this. So hopefully in the show notes, we'll have our discount for your readers for them to use over on equallywedpro.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And then in closing, we would love one thing you want to dare our listeners to do after listening to your episode.
I think like a quick answer, and then you can expound on this, but it's kind of dare yourself to step just a little bit out of your comfort zone to show your inclusivity. And it doesn't just have to be to LGBTQ+ people. I mean, that's where we're coming from in regards to our community, but to anybody that's not you. Your community, your race, your religion, your gender identity, sexuality, whatever it is, just try to dare yourself to do something this week, this month, whatever it is, this year, if it takes you a little longer to do things that can show your love, your inclusivity, and your affirmation to somebody different. And it may be something that you want to start doing daily in a grocery store or whatever it is, and maybe something for your business. But I think that just to something that's like a tangible thing that you can say, I did that. And it challenged me and it made me feel nervous, but and hopefully it'll make you feel phenomenal after you see the results or the reaction or the love or whatever may come from it.
And I'll tag team on that to say, and don't look for any affirmation for doing it. You're doing it for yourself. And you're doing it for the betterment of society, and don't expect cookies and applause.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Well, thank you, Kirsten and Maria, for joining us on Dare to Develop. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. We are thank so happy you. To be here with you guys.
Yeah, very honored. Thank you so much.
We had such a great conversation with Kirsten and Maria, where they just gave so many tangible tips and just ways to reflect into yourself of like how you can be more inclusive to so many different marginalized communities.
Yes, I definitely loved the heart of it being your intent and your intention when doing something, whether that's changing the language on your website, creating new content, as well as having those hard conversations with vendors that you might be referring. I think that's something I definitely need to think about and implement in my business as well, of just really understanding my core values and then aligning with vendors that share the same core values as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think when they talked about their dare, about how to take that first step and being uncomfortable, like what can you do today, next week, in a month that will change the way you think within the world and how you can make other people who aren't like you feel better.
Yes. And definitely also that last little tidbit Kirsten had of taking a step towards being more inclusive and affirming and not expecting praise or a thank you in return is just a really great reminder across the board for all kinds of inclusivity, as well as just doing the right thing, even when it's hard, right? Being a good person. So I just think those are so true to our core values at Dare to Develop, of just daring to take risks in your business. Sometimes that means leaving your full-time job. Sometimes that means taking on a big investment like a mentor. And sometimes that means something as small as a conversation, but that has great weight and great importance. So we really hope you take that to heart as you listen to today's episode and walk away from today.
Thanks so much for joining us today on Dare to Develop.
We'd love for you to subscribe and leave us a review if you love today's episode.
Don't forget to check out the show notes at daretodeveloppodcast.com and follow along on IG at Dare to Develop.
Catch us next week for more fun as we hear from creatives who have dared greatly in their businesses and developed community along the way.